Hello again, this is Rural Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we have program number 310. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program. Please mention whether you want a CD or a audio tape. We have some music, some singing. Got very powerful message. We've got a continuation of the series that I've been doing. We also have some testimonials. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. We've got some Bible reading, too, from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. So if that way you can get that those scriptures now so that you don't have to hurriedly do it. Let's go to the throne. Lord, bless this, anoint this service. Anoint it with your power, the Holy Spirit. You shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's so many Christians today, Father, that have no power to resist sin or Satan or the lusts of this world. Lord, let them seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Being saved is not enough in the world that we live in today. The world that we live in today, Father, as you well know, I'm just saying this so that the people in the world can hear. I know that you know these way better than I do. But we're living in the hour of temptation. And you said that you'd keep us from the hour of temptation if we wanted to be kept from the hour of temptation. That means that we'd have to do everything that you say. Because if we don't keep the commandments, then the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will be withheld from us. The baptism, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit if you keep the commandments, all of them. Because the Lord knows who to give his power to. He gives his power to those that are interested in the power. But people that are constantly led astray by every handsome face or every pretty girl or anything, whatever is their lust is, narcotics, drugs, booze, any of these things, they are not interested in your power or to live close to you. And therefore you deprive their ability to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The psalmist David told his son Solomon, if you seek with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the Lord, he will be found of you. If we seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will receive the power from on high to be able to exist in this in the kingdom of heaven, and to be able to worm our way through this world. This is a bad word, but we can weave our way through this world by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I know people in my church that are not at all, even in my church, with all the hundreds of messages and hundreds of pieces of literature that I've written, thousands of messages actually, and there's some people that it's like preaching to dead stones. But Lord, I pray that you put the fear of you on them, and the fear of not having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they're going to fall. They're falling into temptation, and they're falling away like flies. You stated that they would fall away in these last days in a great number, and that they would allow Satan to move into the temple, into them. They are the temple of the Lord, and that they would start professing the things of Satan while they're the devil is living in them. They just let the devil boot you out of them like you're some kind of a dog, that you're nothing, and they just say that Satan is God, that he is God. And for this, because they have not the love of the truth, the love of the Word of God, the love of Jesus, which is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and also he is the Holy Spirit. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So they allow to have some tramp on the street or to just not witness to them, but they attempt to allure them into their satanic way of life. And they don't attempt to lead them to you, Father. And for this, every time they do this, every time they cause somebody to commit adultery or fornication in their heart, they're going to be charged with that. This is the worst thing. This is the biggest offense that people can do, is to allure people away from the Lord. It would be better. That's the offense that you're talking about. That anyone that would offend the least of mine in any way to allure them away from you, Father, from you, Jesus, from you, Holy Spirit, it would be better for them that a millstone, the size, so great in size that it would take an ox to move it around and around, that it be hung upon around their neck and that they be cast into the sea. So, Lord, I pray that this message today will inspire them to want to live in the Spirit, and not only want to, but that they should do it. Because with your Spirit in them, they are more than conquerors to do that, to live before you and to resist all the lusts of their flesh. Lord, give that to them, that the souls out in the world would be saved and the church would be strengthened. Father, I ask it for the sakes of those people, not because it's going to bless you any, because you're God and you've already got it made, but it's for them that you have sent me into the world to teach them your ways, that they don't spend eternity in the lake of fire, hell and the lake of fire. So, Lord, that we ask that they receive this message, and not only for the moment that they're hearing it, but they hang on to it, that they grasp it, that they cling to it, that they wrap it around their heads, around their eyes and their arms and their fingers, and that they keep it there on a day-to-day basis, one day at a time, that they will make it into the kingdom of God and not have to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Father God, we ask it in the mighty name of the mighty Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, I've got a song here that I'd like to favor you with. You know, a lot of people don't do the things of the Lord because they don't have the power of God. They feel that Satan is so powerful because they can't stop from lusting. They can't stop from interfering with the church, the body of Christ, because they don't walk in the Spirit. And the longer they wait and don't do it are days that they just keep letting slip by. But they don't realize every day that slipped by is forever. And that's the name of this song. Gary Paxton wrote it, and I'm singing it. The days we let slip by forever.
Like robins in the springtime, when a day is come and gone, it is then a part of eternity and time. The days we let slip by forever, while we're putting up what we can do tomorrow for us. We'll never cheer someone around us. Where a soul has come and gone, was it saved or lost to the clouds or fire below? The days we let live by, forever we will have to face when judgment comes before us. We should have cared. We'll cry to live again. The days we let live by. Too late, we'll plead to live again. We'll cry to live again.
Slip by. Will this be another day that you let slip by and just let your emotions, your feelings grab onto you instead of resisting your feelings, mortifying them by the Holy Spirit? But if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you won't be able to do that. And if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you just have slipped back into the world, thinking it's so smart to lust after the flesh, to lust after your choice of flesh or this world, anything in this world, you have to be totally antichrist, because you know very good and well that the Bible says that you can't sin. You're not, you can, but you cannot sin and get into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot. Because he that sinneth is of the devil, or she that sinneth is of the devil, the Bible says. And the Lord says, go and sin no more. See, so when you're lusting after the things of the world, what's happening is that you're breaking every commandment of the Lord. Because what you're doing is committing adultery, you're committing fornication, you're leading people astray to go to hell, and you're accountable for every one of those souls. You don't care whether they're saved or lost. You just want to allure them or to look at others in a way that the Lord doesn't want you to look at them. This is one of the things that Susie never did. She said, all I see when I look at men, she says, I look at them as human souls. And all I want to know is, are they saved or lost? And that's why I conduct myself the way I do. I watched her like a hawk, because I'd seen so many promiscuous men and women in the world, and I could see that she just didn't pay any attention to them whatsoever, men at all. And there were certain classes of people that she was afraid of, because they commit so many murders and everything that they don't even put it in the papers anymore, and she knew to completely stay away from that type or any type of class of people. There's nothing in skin color that the skin doesn't mean anything, but it's the kind of life, the class of life that they live, and they are violent and on drugs and selling drugs and all sorts of different things, to where it made her frightened of them, not to the point to where she wouldn't witness to them, but she never hung out with them at all, ever. And she never, ever lusted after anyone. I would watch her like a hawk, and I couldn't believe that there's a woman in the world that doesn't do that. Now, since then, I've seen some people, when they were saved, they didn't. But most of the ones that claim to be saved, I've seen them doing that. And I want to tell you, children, you males and females, that is the Lord. One time an Asian girl came into the church, and all the people that I thought were brothers, and this goes back years ago, they were just a bunch of baby Christians, they all flocked around her, and I couldn't believe it, that they were so into lusting after something. And the girl was she wasn't really a devout person at all. She only stayed at the church for no more than a week or two. And she wasn't interested in any of them. I guess every man thinks he's a Romeo or something, but she wasn't interested in any of them at all. And all they did was just, I believe every single one of them had lost their souls. They'd fallen away. And we've been preaching this kind of message over and over again, and the Bible is filled with it. A person that falls back into the world, into lusts, is like a dog going back to its vomit. In other words, the person that receives the Lord, have all their sins taken away, the Spirit of God enters into them, and then they go back into lusting. They're like a vomit lapping dog, or a sow. That's a pig that's gone back to its wallowing in the mire. And I noticed that a lot of them think they're so smart because different people look at them or something like that, and they just are filled full of pride, which tells me how weak they are so far as believing the Scriptures. And when you don't believe the Scriptures, you're not believing Jesus. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth in Jesus is saved, okay, has eternal life. But I can tell that they don't have eternal life, and they're so smug in the way that they think that they don't even know it. They don't know that they're lost. They don't have eternal life because they're constantly, and if they don't, to the point, some of them, when you pinpoint that to them, they don't do it openly like they used to, but you can tell that they're thinking it. That's what they, it just crosses their mind. They say, well, the devil keeps hitting me. But if you, if you're up by the throne of the Lord and sitting there with them, there is no power that Satan has over you. And so those of you that fall into that same category, beware, because the Lord has warned you and you're responsible after you've been warned. Now, if you want to go to hell, go there. But I'm not going to go there with you. People that commit adultery, you've got a bunch of trashy people that call themselves Christians that says, oh, you should forget them, take them back. If I had a wife that committed adultery, I'd do what Jesus said, put her out. If that's what happened. And if I had a wife that did something like that, I'd say, okay, I can't forgive you for a major sin like that. You have to get forgiveness from God. And if you get forgiveness from Him, then fine, but I'm not going to crawl into bed with you. I forgive you too if the Lord did it, but you can't stay in the church, and you cannot, I'm not going to crawl in bed with you. Now, that's just it. And that's the way I would be. You know, anyone out there that believes that you should go to bed with a woman that is an adulteress, or a man that is in out there that is a whoremonger, you're crazy to go put up with that, or to think that there's something in the Bible that says you should forgive them. God is the only one that can forgive sin. We can forgive offenses against ourselves if somebody talks to you a little rudely or something like that. But there are sins unto death, and that there are sins that are not unto death. And these are sins of ignorance. And if you ignorantly did something and you repent of it, which means you're not going to do it anymore, well, then you're not going to be judged for it. It's erased. But sins such as lusting with adultery in your heart, and that you are so far into lusting after anything in this world, the Lord says, love not the world, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so if you have any of that going for you, don't expect, you know, because the same spirit that's lusting in you now, when you die, that goes out of you and you're caught. And the Lord doesn't want you to go to hell, but if you insist on it, He's not sending you there, you're sending yourself. So beware of those of you. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to make it in this world. and into the heaven, because some satanic thing will catch you up. Just like even a bird, the Bible says, knows better than to fly itself into a net. So if you don't know better than that, well, then you're worse. You don't even have the brain of a bird. You're a bird brain, less than a bird brain. Okay, and then people's, you know, they bow their heads in humility, and then after the service, then they get up and do the same thing. That is not Christianity either, where they pose as though they're receiving what they say and that they're ashamed and they're convicted. And then another day or two, and they're right back into the same thing again, or given maybe a week. No, you need the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in order to walk a steady, straight, and narrow way into heaven. The path to heaven is so narrow. You have to be narrow-minded. You can't be broad-minded and get into heaven. You have to be narrow-minded. You have to just think of the Lord. And that's it. Because straight is the way, and narrow is the way. Amen? Straight mm-hmm. and narrow is the way into the kingdom of heaven. But people that just think broadly, they look over here and they look over here and they're interested in this and that. They're on the internet all the time, finding all these things that excite them. They're not happy unless they're finding some new worldly thing. And that's the way people are today. They're full of the world. And when God absolutely commands you, love not the world. So, you know, you just have to train yourself. You have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And if you refuse to do that, brother and sister, you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. And you may think that this is a pleasant way to live in this world. But let me tell you something. Let the Lord tell you something. There is another world. And that's the long life when you leave this human body, this carcass that you're living in. This carcass of yours that's going to get yours is going to get old. If time goes on much longer, you're going to get old. You say, well, I never lived. You're not living unless you're walking in the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells you that you're dead if you're walking in sin, that you're dead in sins and trespasses. Now, with all the different diversities of temptations in this world, you say, well, how can we possibly stay away from the hour of temptation? The Bible is just a very simple thing. People stumble over the simplicity of the Word of God. It just says, stay at the throne of the Lord. What did Jesus say? He said, pray always. And what did Paul say? He says, pray without ceasing. But that's too narrow. I mean, there's so many things going on. There you go. There you go. There's so many handsome guys. There's so many beautiful women. There you go. There's so many things to do. There's all these different schools. We can learn how to do big business. They teach us you can be an auto mechanic, a truck mechanic, a diesel mechanic, a heavy equipment mechanic. You can learn how to drive all these things. You can go to musician school. You can go to UCLA. You can go to City College. You can go and learn a diversity of things. There's Satan has more than 31 flavors for you to go. And there's hundreds of millions of things to do in this great, big, beautiful, lustful world. But if you want to get in the world to come in the right place in heaven, you're going to have to narrow it down, kids. Really, you have to narrow your thinking down. The Bible says you have to squeeze into the kingdom of heaven. It's a upward grind. It's a cross-carrying, self-denial situation. And if you don't feel that it's worth it to stay out of hell, then, you know, you're hopeless. You're without hope. And you're going to hell. And you just might as well live out the rest of your life knowing, you know, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night thinking that if I die, and there's a lot of people like that, they can't sleep at night. They're afraid to go to sleep for fear that the breath will go out of their body. I know friends. I have friends like that. that they, I'm afraid to go to sleep, I'm so sick, and they get sickness all of a sudden because the Lord curses them. And they say, I'm afraid to go to sleep, I'm afraid my heart will stop. And then what? They know they're going to hell because they didn't choose the ways of the Lord. They didn't choose the Lord, the Word. The Word is the Lord. They don't want to live by it. There's too much excitement. People flock to Las Vegas because of the lights. Also, mosquitoes and all kinds of bugs are attracted to the light. You want to be like a mosquito or a bug? Good heavens, what's wrong with you? Well, anyway, we have some testimonials here. Where's the first one from, Michelle?
From Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Okay, what do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Lomo, I thought your message, which I read from the Chicago Tribune, was excellent, and it helped me to make my faith in the Lord even more secure. I would very much like to read your booklet called The Messiah. I also know someone who is dear to me that has alcohol and drug problems. If you have any information that might be able to help him, I would send it to him. He is on the borderline of accepting Christ, but hasn't as of yet. I continually pray for him. Thank you very much, Nancy from Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Well, this message that I'm bringing today should be the very thing that you tell him. To him, the lust that he has in the world is alcohol. And alcohol is going to ruin his body. I know that my mother and my uncles, who were alcoholics, passed away very early in their 40s. And Elvis Presley taking drugs. Elvis and I were the same age. I was 3 months older than him. And Elvis, one of his lusts, one of the things that hooked him was drugs. He was hooked by Satan. The devil doesn't care what hooks you. He just throws all the hooks out at you. And whatever one you bite, that's he's got you. And he doesn't care if it's drugs, alcohol, sex, whether it's male or female, or if you're into sports. You know, sports, if it takes your mind away from the Lord, it's sin. Or some kind of schooling, whatever it is that you gets your mind off the Lord, that's what it is. Mun. Yeah, that's what it is. All right. All right, and so that's what I would tell this man, is let him hear these tapes. Let him hear, read my messages, and he'll get saved, or else he'll reject. And if he does, you're interested in this man. I don't know whether it's for matrimony or what, but if he doesn't accept the Lord, I wouldn't have anything to do with him, because you may love somebody or think somebody's exciting, but if they're not going to keep the commandments, all they'll do is drag you down into hell with them. There's a woman named Tyre St. Clair. She was in the church. She used to go to Angelus Temple in Los Angeles. And Sue and I have preached there on many occasions. I'd give my testimony and Susie would preach. I was just a young Christian at the time. And she had been a Christian for a long time. And she stated that if Mama is not going to be in heaven, I would not want to be in heaven. I wouldn't want to be there. Mm-mm. So one night she decided to, you know, like the Baptists say, she decided to backslide. In other words, she decided to sin and put Christ out to open shame again and trample his blood underfoot. That's what she wanted to do. So she dressed all up in her red dress and her shoes. She used to be a former prostitute. She said that she used to just go from one place to the other, just being a prostitute. And now she's actually extremely old. And so what she did is put on a red dress and shoes and put lots of rouge and lipstick on and covered all the scars on her face and the stretch marks or the wrinkles all around her, and combed her hair real good and put on some perfumey. I know it's perfume, and went down to the local beer joint, because that's the kind of woman she was, and she got really soused in there. And all of a sudden, she went over to put some money in the jukebox, and she passed out and fell down behind the jukebox somehow. And she had this vision of hell. And there were people, their whole bodies and faces were like melted. They were like melting, and they were, she said they were saying, Tony, she says, and Sue, they were saying just one thing. And it sounded like a bunch of dogs saying that. They were saying, mercy, mercy. It makes me cough every time I try to say that. But then they kept throwing themselves up against a pit. And she said there was no mercy there. And she said, if my mother wants to go to hell, she can. But she said, I would punch my mother's eyes out with the heels, the long heels on these red shoes, or stomp her eyes out to get out of hell. And if she wants to go there, she can go there. But that place is so horrible that I would never want to be. It's just like horrible torment, and they're all like dogs. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That's all they can say. And there is no mercy. And the Bible tells you that there'll be no mercy. The Lord shuts his ears off to you because you shut your ears off to him while you were here on earth. You didn't pay any mind to him. You paid no attention. You set his word aside as though it was nothing, as though it was naught. And therefore, you're there, and you're there permanently. There's no parole. There's no leave of absence. There's no escapism from the pain and the torments there. There's no water, no food, no rest, no sitting down. It's just mercy and throwing yourself up against a pit. And this is, I've seen, heard many, many, almost like, I mean, very similar to that. Because hell is a tailor-made place for people that want to go there, just like heaven is. Heaven is a place of levels, of earnings. People say, you don't have to work. Well, the Bible says you will be judged by your works, the works that you allow the Lord to do in your body. And that certainly isn't trying to tantalize somebody to lust after you, your rotten flesh. Your daily rotting flesh. Your sweaty, stinky, rotten flesh. Now, I'm well known for saying it like it is, because it wouldn't, I don't like to flower the gospel up. I like to tell you just like it is. So, repent of your sins, or you're going to perish. Yeah, there's no exit door. There's no exits in hell. You have to stay there. And you have to stay there forever. And forever is a long time. It'd be something if you die. Relieve you from the pain. But there's no rest and there's no death. It's just constant dying. But you never pass out. You never faint. You never become unconscious. And there's no drugs there to take the pain away. Okay, do we have another testimony?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, Founder, President, and World Pastor, greeting and peace of the Lord be with you. Our church, the Holy Tony Lamo Christian Church and Ministries, is continuing to grow so very tremendously. I need much of your prayers as I am traveling in a great deal, ministering for the Lord to many lost souls and planting our churches in many areas, but also hold leadership seminars equipping our pastors in the Word of God. Your soul-winning messages on tape are in high demand here in Malawi. I have been using these teaching tapes in prisons, hospitals, colleges, schools, and camp meetings. I want to assure you the harvest is very great, and millions of people are coming to the Lord through your gospel teaching tapes. Please consider to send me more tapes. The need for literature and Bibles is also so very great. Kindly send us more literature, and if God provides, send us also Bibles. God willing, also bless us with 10 tape recorders. Pastor Tony Lamo, please kindly send more Tony Lamo Christian Ministries t-shirts and sweatshirts for our distributors to wear. We are evangelizing the whole Malawi and Mozambique. May God richly bless you. Yours in his service, Reverend Victor from Malawi, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful. And make sure that they get what I told you to send them, all the things. Yeah, we're just so blessed to have so many wonderful distributors all over the world that are constantly interested in denying their flesh, walking in the Spirit, and leading people to the Lord, not away from the Lord. Anyone that leads people away from the Lord are not to be admired here in this world or in the world to come. Okay, so they are willingly, wantonly doing these things against God's will. How do we get into heaven? We have to be in his will. That's what Jesus said. His meat is to do the will, not mine own will, but the will of my Father in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and if you're a Christian, that's the way you are. And if you're not, get out of the churches. Quit calling yourself a Christian because you're trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot and putting him to shame. And you're leading people astray by thinking, yeah, we can have go and do these things that you're doing too. Why not? You know, God is love. Let me tell you something. God is love, all right, to those that love him and keep his commandments, but he's also a God of wrath to those that don't. And he hates, too. He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, have I hated. He hates the workers of iniquity. He hates the iniquity. And he still is not going to love you if you sin. He loved you enough to come and die for you, so he'll cleanse you up with the blood of Jesus, and he'll enter you and give you the power, if you do what he says. He said, you are my friend if you do everything I say. Well, everything? Well, you know, that's too narrow. That's the way it is. It is narrow. And I'm not trying to flower it up for you, because we need to know the truth in this world in order to get into the right other world. Amen?
Amen.
The world of the future. We must invest our lives. You hear people going to universities and spending 20 years there, spending thousands of dollars, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year to learn something. And then after graduation, they go out and maybe get hit by a bus. And what did they become? Dead. And what happened with their soul? Well, if they paid no attention to the Lord, then what? You know where they go. And so it's no big deep dark secret. The mystery of God is revealed these days. If not in my ministry anyway, it is.
Yeah.
And the mystery of iniquity is quite well understood through this ministry. Okay, so now the Lord told me to check out Hitler's speeches. I always just thought this man was a maniac, but he had, so I did it, and it showed me that the same thing is happening to the United States of America that happened to Germany. When they were with the UN, they fell down into despair. They lost everything they had. It was like horrible. And then Hitler took power and he said, no, we have to be an independent nation. One nation, he even preached God, under God, with liberty and justice for all. And he says, we Germans have to stick together. We Americans need to stick together. We can't be spending these trillions, billions and trillions of dollars getting our noses into other people's business, because when you do, it's like trying to attack a porcupine or a skunk. Even any idiot knows that if you attack a porcupine or a skunk, you're going to stink and you're going to get quills all through you. I had a dog named Taurus. He was a pit bull when I was a kid. He was nice to me. And he got his nose into a porcupine. He also got his nose into a skunk. And I saw him run like crazy across the street in Lewistown, Montana, go across the meadow and leap into that creek. And then when he got those porcupine quills in his nose, the doctors said they were going to have to put him to sleep. And I said, no. And they said, well, then we have to operate on his nose and pull those quills out. we've got our nose into a bunch of quills out there, people, and we need to do what Hitler did so far as getting out of the UN, because Germany became a strong nation when they did. But again, I say that when Hitler started killing Jews and even homosexuals, which were against that sin very much, and God is too, and blacks, when he started doing that, you know, I don't understand why blacks would be ever become a Catholic or Muslim. Because when you're talking to a Muslim, you're talking to a Catholic. That's a division of the Catholic cult. They raised Muhammad up to make a mighty nation to destroy the Jews so that the Catholics wouldn't get blamed for it. That's the Bible says that that's the mother of every abominable sin on the face of this earth. They're the ones that are orchestrating all the things that are going on, all the wars, all the rumors of wars, and God is starting to curse the earth because that people are believing them. Now, when Hitler pulled away from the UN, then he said, let's just be Germans now, and let's build to ourselves. Because when you let the UN, they take all your industry away, and they do all this, and you can't even, you have to work three jobs to make ends meet. Even your wives have to go to work when they should be at home. Susie always said, I love being a kept woman. I love being at home. How any person would want to go out into the workforce to be out there for like a cop or something, they're nasty, she said. They just want to be out there so where they can live a life of sin. But anyway, here is another one of Hitler's speeches that will confirm the things that God led me to see what this man was doing. And so the whole UN, when he pulled out, came against him. And rightly so, because he was killing Jews, homosexuals, and blacks. Jews, blacks, and homosexuals. And if, I don't know why homosexuals belong to that church. They are street homosexuals that they're against. Almost the entire hierarchy of the Catholic cult are homosexuals. Even their priests, you've seen it in the news where they were all molested boys, young altar boys and all this. So they're not a nice class of people. They need to be born again. They need to be saved. Hitler needed to be saved. He needed to be told that the Jews are God's chosen people. And the Christians, the true Christians, see, he was a Catholic, and he was told that the Jews were trying to rule the world, and they kept the secret from him because it's called Babylon, mysterious Babylon. They kept it from him that the Catholics were the ones, the actual ones that the Bible says are trying to rule the world. And if you'll notice, in all the hierarchy, it's either Catholics or deceived Jews, a few Jews, or a few deceived Gentiles, a few of them, very few. Okay, so let's read a little bit of Hitler here, and then we'll get into the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Go ahead, read it.
Speech of April 1st, 1939. German fellow citizens, he who wants to have the deepest impression of the decay and resurrection of Germany most vividly must go and see the development of a city like Wilhelmshaven, which today reverberates with life and activity, and which still a short time ago was a dead spot, nearly without means of existence and without prospects of a future.
Right. He was saying that because they were with the UN, and the UN totally caused everything to be in depression like it is here in the United States. And, you know, the media, which is Satan's mouth, will tell you that it isn't depressing, but which one of you has peace during the day? You have to look left and right, drive-by shootings, all these things. Violence from television has caused people to kill their babies, drown them in tubs, to kill their husbands. They think they can go out and commit adultery, and if the husband gets mad, he falls asleep, or he slaps them around a little bit, and they fall asleep, it's all right for the government, the satanic Catholic government, says it's all right to put a bullet through his head. And they do that like crazy. Okay, then what else?
It pays to revisualize this past. When this city experienced its first upward move, it coincided with the rise of the German Reich after its unification. This Germany was in a state of peace. During the same time as the so-called peace-loving and Puritan nations led a great number of wars, Germany then knew only one aim, to maintain peace, to work in peace, to raise the prosperity of its inhabitants, and thereby to contribute to human culture and civilization. This Germany of peacetimes has attempted, with unending diligence, with geniality, and with steadiness, to form its life within and to safeguard outwardly through participation in peaceful competition with the nations.
Right, we're not a democracy. We're not supposed to be a democracy. Democracy is a Catholic theory, which is nothing more than dictatorship. They want to go to every country and make them a democracy. That means to put them under the thumb of the Vatican. And that's what the Bible states, that they just swallow up all the nations. So when Hitler decided that it was the Jews that were actually trying to rule the world and pulled himself out of the UN, then the UN got very nasty with him. And it wasn't that they cared so much about Jews or homosexuals or blacks, but they wanted to come in and kill him, destroy him like they did the people in Iraq and other nations all over the world for not joining the UN. He absolutely put egg all over their face by pulling out of the UN. And he did it because Germany fell into poverty. It was in a slump. They couldn't continue on any longer. And when he did, he says, let's grow our own food, let's manufacture our own goods, let's do everything that way. And in the scriptures in the fourth chapter, there's only one way, and that's God's way. Where he got into, he started killing all these people, and naturally that gave the United Nations a perfect excuse to go in and kill him, and rightly so. Okay, then what?
This Germany of peacetimes has attempted with unending diligence, with geniality, and with steadiness to form its life within and to safeguard outwardly through participation in peaceful competition with the nations, its due place in the sun.
Yeah, it's all right to compete with the nations, but not join them. So that you dilute your ability to run your own country. We can't run our own country. We're taking orders from Rome, from Roman canon law. Then what?
Even though this Germany, through the decades, was the safest guarantor of peace, and even though she occupied herself with peaceful things, she was unable to prevent other nations, and especially their statesmen, from following this rise with envy and hatred, and finally to answer with a war.
But see, because of the fact that we are the strength of the UN, we're the military power, we wouldn't have to worry about other nations if we pull out of there. We have the strongest defense in the world. We are the strongest power in the world. And we need our patriotism back again. We need to get everybody, the reason that they brought drugs in. They had the people in government that were Catholics to bring the drugs into this country to get everybody real dopey. So they don't know what's happening to them. They think it's smart and real chic to be snorting cocaine. Don't you know you're ruining your brain, your life, your soul, your spirit? For God's sake, you put that stuff down and let's all join together and pull out of the UN. Amen?
Amen.
And keep the money here. And if anyone comes in, let's be porcupines. Let's put some quills in them. Amen?
Amen.
Or some be skunks and put some stink on them. Okay, what else?
Today we know from the documents of history how the encirclement policy of those times was carried on in a planned way by England. We know from...
They think it's England. They thought Hitler thought it was England and the Jews. Okay, then what?
We know from numerous findings and publications that in that country the conception was that it would be necessary to bring down Germany military because its destruction would ensure every British citizen a greater abundance of life's possessions. Certainly at that time, Germany made mistakes. Its most serious mistake was to see this encirclement and not to stave it off in time. The only fault we can blame the regime of that time for is that the Reich had full knowledge of this devilish plan of a raid, and yet it did not have the power of decision to ward it off in time.
No, because the UN was calling the shots, and that Germany didn't. Then what? Now, we're not calling the shots either. It looks like we are, but the Pope is telling Bush what to do, and Bush is then sending our people overseas. Bush is a puppet, a weak puppet. He's not doing all these things. He acts like he's real staunch, but he knows that if he doesn't do what the Vatican says, they'll kill him. And that's what he's worried about. That's what's driving him into the booze halls. Okay, then what?
Yet it did not have the power of decision to ward it off in time, and could only let this encirclement ripen until the beginning of the catastrophe. The result was the World War. In this war, the German people, although it had by no means the best armaments, fought heroically.
No, we had the best armament, no matter how heroic they fought. If they wouldn't have been killing Jews, blacks, and homosexuals, we probably would not, if we had a smart president, a real president, one that wasn't against us. We would have never went over there, but they were doing it, and if it was me, I would go over there to rescue them. And Israel should have, too. Okay, then what? But most of Israel, all the Jews were scattered throughout the nations. They were restored back to their nation in 47 and 1948. Then what?
No people can claim the glory for itself to have forced us down, much less so that nation whose statesmen today speak the greatest words. Germany at that time remained undefeated and unconquered on land, at sea, and in the air. However, it was Germany. But there was the
But it was Germany. It was one nation. We need to be America, not 200 nations together where they're voting us down and sapping us of our strength. We don't need that any longer. Okay, so let's read some Ephesians. We have to hurry, but we've got about 1 minute left. And read the part about it being one. Okay, let's start it. Verse 4.
There is one body and one spirit.
Okay, that's even God does that. He doesn't have a united, all kinds of different ways to get into heaven. There's only one way. It's just one body, one way. Okay, then what?
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Just one hope. There's no two ways to get in. No, you can't. I don't care what you hope for. It's not going to happen. There's only one hope. And then what?
One Lord.
There's only one Lord. There isn't more than one God. These three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one God. And Jesus is the fullness of that one God. Okay? Of the Godhead bodily. Then what?
One faith.
Yeah, there's only one faith. You have to believe the Word of God. Okay? Just one faith. Only the Gospel. The Old and New Testament. Then what?
One baptism.
Okay, that's it. One, there's not two baptisms. Okay, then what else?
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
See, the Lord teaches us to just be our own nation, a one republic under God with liberty and justice for all. The minute that you join up with the Vatican, the minute that you start listening to them, there's no more liberty or justice in this country at all, and we're done. Our industry is gone. We need to drag it back here, get rid of the union so that we can have normal wages and we can live in peace. But anyone tries to stop us, I don't believe in carnal weapons or anything like that, but the secular people do, and we have more weapons than anybody. We're the only ones that have weapons of mass destruction. Okay, well, I see my time is up, and this is Ephesians 4th chapter. We're going to continue on with that. There's so much to say, so much to teach, that it just is very hard to get it all into a one-hour text. So tune in tomorrow to learn more of how America's been had, Germany was had, and they pulled out of it. And they became strong, and if they wouldn't have been killing all those people, they would have probably... no doubt they would have been a lot better off than they are today. They were destroyed. Okay, now, those of you that would like to be saved, say this prayer to God, and you'll be saved. You'll have all your sins washed away, and if you die, if you go on, you're going to live forever in heaven. Say this prayer to the Lord. Mean it. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell them four different ways to receive a copy of program number 310 and any other programs you want, free of charge.
Go to AlamoMinistries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Do you know that you're going to go someplace someday? When you go, it's either heaven or hell. So here's the song that I'm singing here is When You Go. It's another Gary Paxton song.
Traffic in a turmoil by the sidewalk. Somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk. When they could do more than just debate. Everybody's sweating about the dollar. Yelling, can he save his penny earn? How's it gonna help them when they holler? If it sends them to a place to burn. Social standings in hereafter. Everybody dies the same old way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction nowhere. The Lord, now don't you know? Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.